Romans chapter 12. I'd like to read the closing part of verse 2. That ye may prove what is that will of God. No, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Could we go to the Ephesian epistle, please? Chapter 5, verse 15, Ephesians 5 and 15. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Colossians, while we're in Colossians 1, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, that will suffice, because I have some concern this evening as to whether I should proceed with whether I should have proceeded with my exercise in ministry. For this reason, that our brother John Skinner this afternoon asked the question that I would like to place before our hearts, and our brother Jim McColl answered the question. Now, John's question was in relation to the elderly brother he met in Townsville, who was concerned as to how he could know the Lord's will. And it was a problem to him. And if it was a problem to that aged brother, then I suggest that it is a problem, or has been a problem, to every believer gathered here this evening. And we have, or we are, we have asked, or we are asking our souls, even tonight, what is God's will for me in a particular situation? I don't know what that situation, beloved, is. It could be a situation as described in our brother David's ministry just immediately previous to this. It could be a day of trouble. A day of trouble in which looking for the stronghold, or even in the stronghold, you're wondering what God's will is for you. I said that our brother McColl answered the question because I believe, and I'm rather fascinated, because the Word of God is a fascinating book, if we can use that description reverently. I'm intrigued by the way in which the answer to questions posed in the Scriptures are to be found in close proximity to the question. And I believe with all my heart, and against the background of my own failing experience, that the answer to the question, how can I know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, lies in the opening verses of chapter 12 of Romans. There are many questions that we pose. There are many longings of our lives, are there not, that the Bible puts into suitable words for us. We were recently at Imbolc and discussed just how it is possible for the believer to live Christ, or to take up the words of 1 Peter chapter 2, to show forth the virtues of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. Beloved, is that the deep innermost longing of your heart? Amidst the busyness and the burdens and the depressions and the humdrum of life, do you want to show forth the virtues? You want to show forth the virtues of your Lord? Of course you do. Of course you do. Is it happening? Is it happening? The neighbours, you know, and the friends, and the workmates, and the business associates, and the schoolmates, do they see in you, do they see in me, the loveliness of Christ? My brother and my sister in the Lord, do you see in me, in one another, the virtues of him, not just of your Lord, precious though that is, but the virtues of him who hath called you out of darkness? And how did he do it? How did he do it? All the reality of the sacrifice of Calvary floods into your soul because you're indwelt of the Spirit of God. And the preciousness of your Saviour is impressed upon your heart and your spirit. Yes, we want to display the virtues of the Lord, don't we? Well, the answer to that lies within the same chapter. And exactly what is meant by showing forth his praises lies within the verses that follow that verse in the chapter. Just what exactly is meant by demonstrating, showing forth the virtues of the Lord? It's there. And go back before it and you'll discover how it can be achieved. How it can be achieved. Now I see Romans chapter 12 and the other pertinent question that comes so regularly before the hearts of the Lord's people. How can I know if I'm moving in the pattern of the Lord's will? The will of God. Well, it's simply what God wills. I don't see it here as meaning the will that God has. God has a will. It's sovereign. It's almighty. It's omnipotent. It must be brought to pass. But the will of God in relation to his creature is what he purposes for his creature, revealed in his works and his words, and fulfilled in the exercise of his power. Is that a good description? I don't know who wrote it, but I have read it. It's his works, it's his purpose towards his creature, revealed in his words and his works, and fulfilled in the exercise of his power. Now, what does God will for you and for me? How can we discover it? Now, John had the short answer this afternoon. He said, when I'm asked that question again, I'll answer it with another question. And he'll say, well, how is your heart? How is your heart? Because I think that is the answer. It all lies within the inner person. It lies within ourselves and our relationship with the Lord. Now, our ministry this afternoon directed us to refrain from laying up treasure in heaven. Our ministry this afternoon exhorted us to present our bodies. Our ministry this afternoon, and there was a lovely connection, I think, flowing in the ministry. It warned us against the difficulties that would beset believers in last days. Now, beloved, how are we going to cope with situations like this? How are we going to be victorious in our lives, expressing the virtues of the Lord Jesus in situations like this? How are we going to know his will? There is no easy way. There is no easy way. It's not a matter of dropping on your knees, my knees, and saying, I am going to present my body to the Lord. It's not a matter of choosing a verse at random to look for direction from God as to how we should act in relation to a certain set of circumstances. But you say, I have been helped by the promise box. I have chosen a little strip of paper with a verse of scripture on that has helped me. Well, then the Lord is gracious to us. And the reading, sometimes in a state of despondency, you open at the middle of the Bible and read a psalm and you get great help. But the answer to living in a condition that makes available to you the possibility of doing the will of God, there is no easy way to that. Because the demands that are placed upon us, how did you get saved? Was it easy? I know that there is no specific prescription as to how you come and another came and I came. But the injunction to the sinner is to strive. To strive. The sincere milk of the word is Peter's injunction to us, that we might get an understanding of our holy priesthood, coming unto thee as living stones, being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And it all flows on from the time spent with the scriptures, but the word there is, listen, the word is desire. Desire. As newborn babes, desire. And nothing will be obtained. contained in the life for the Lord without definite, deliberate purpose of heart. Therefore, we are to present. Therefore, we are to be transformed. Therefore, we are to know the renewing of the mind. And this calls for deliberate exercise of the will. The verse in John 7 I'm trying to get, I'll just read it to you. If I can find it. If any man will to do his will, there has to be the deliberate exercise of the will before you get saved. Or you say, we're on our own. No, we're not on our own. We're not on our own. If any man will to do his will, we have all the divine resources to come into play in the life and experience of the believer when there is expressed before the Lord the will to do his will. What is entailed in the will of God? I said a little earlier, the solutions to some of these problems, the answer to some of these questions lie so close to the spot where the question is asked. And if you'd like to have an expansion of what is involved in the will of God, then read on in Romans chapter 12 from verse 3 onwards, even to the end of the book, to the end of the epistle, if you wish. And there you will have, do you want to know the will of God? Do you want to shut your eyes before you go to bed and say, Lord, show me what I should do in this circumstance. Help me to get a job. Is it this job or that job? What should my relationship be to that person and that person? Just a quick whisper in the ear of God and off to sleep. I believe, beloved, that the answer to this question is the very heart of the difficulties and the constraints that are upon us as believers today. So that the will of God is described in the verses that follow. But I said before that our brother Jim McColl has taken up the two verses that run before. And in those verses, there lies the secret to coming to a situation in your experience where you understand and know the will of God. And in short, it is the sacrificial activity, the priestly activity, the getting alongside God, the presenting involves the availability and the readiness to serve. Here's a man and here's a person and he gets saved. What happens? New life is infused into the spirit of that person. He who was dead in trespasses and in sins is now alive unto God. A changed relationship has been brought about in his spirit. Now, it's the spirit with which we commune and communicate with God. But the body, the soul, are still continuing on in the environment. What environment? The environment of this age, of this world, with its aims, the aims of this age, with the objectives of this age, with the feelings of this age. And what is the spirit of this age? It is self-centered. Self-centered. Now, the passage says that the mind has to be renewed. The mind has to be renewed. The ministry today said that that is a recurring experience under the operation of the Spirit of God, and with that I concur. The renewing of the mind. The mental processes, beloved, are vitally important to the tenor of your life and mine as Christians. And those mental processes are influenced by the world, the spirit of this age, but they're also influenced by the Spirit of God. And if the mind can be renewed by the Spirit of God, then the transformation will take place. Be ye transformed. And what is that? That is the caterpillar becoming the butterfly within the secret place of the cocoon. The caterpillar goes through a change, a transformation, a metamorphosis. Be ye transformed. Has there been an expression in your life of the change that happened within? Is it being expressed in my life, this transformation, this metamorphosis, this caterpillar becoming the butterfly? Remarkable change, but it all happens within the secret place. Now, beloved, that is the crunch. That is the important feature to get in the presence of God. Be renewed in your mind. Express a transformation. Why? That you might know the will of God. There is no way of knowing the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, without the processes of verses 1 and 2 having taken place. Now, my dear brother and sister, God in his goodness gets us through. God in his goodness comes out and rescues us. God in his goodness brings us in his own way, right from the very brink of the precipice at times. But I'm not talking about living a life of crises. We don't want that, do we? We want a life that is immersed in the will of God. Then how does all this happen, you ask? Do you get quietly on your own, and is there some remarkable way the revelation comes to your mind? If we were to try to expand on the processes that take place before we have that evidence, the proving of the good and acceptable will of God, then that would be a vast, vast subject. But you can choose the verses from the New Testament that deal with the will of God and you get a clue to it. No. I believe this. that the person who is, that the believer who is prepared, the believer who is prepared to allow the Spirit of God to renew the mind, to give expression to in our lives to the change. As a result of that, there is a deliberate decision made that we will not be fashioned like the age and the world around us. That is a logical progression. We will not be fashioned like the age around us. Now that takes place in the presence of God. And if we are prepared to expose our spirits to the presence of God, to the Word of God, unfailingly, God's will be worked out in your life. You won't even know, perhaps, that it's happening. It will take time before you can have proved, having put God to the test, the working out of His will. It's not a matter, beloved, let me impress this upon you within the context of the Scriptures. It's not a matter of a flippant laying all on the altar. It's not a matter of a flippant promise made to God about my finances and my material wealth. I can do that. I can say, Lord, you can have everything I've got and it can be meaningless. It will happen within the cocoon. It will happen in the secret place. It will happen as you get to know God as you've never got to know Him before. It will happen in the depth of anxiety and trial. It seems to me, beloved, if God is going to use me or He's going to use you, He's going to bring you into an experience in which you are shut up alone to Him. Have you been there? My young sister, have you been there? You say, no, Mr. Melville, I haven't. It's very likely that God will take you into a deep experience that He might prove Himself to you. Think of the great men. Think of the great women of Scripture and examine their lives to detect where He has dealt with them in a very special way. In a way that will mean that possessions will not be the same. That ambition will never be the same again. That relationships will not hold the same degree of importance. O Lord, I would be burnished and in Thy quiver hid. By Thee prepared and furnished to do as Thou wouldst bid. Devoted to Thy service, a waiting one I'd be. If I may be well-pleasing, dear Master, unto Thee. Though, this was the verse, though trials the severest may crush and bruise my heart. Though ties be snapped, the dearest as with the rust I part. Yet polish me, till in me Thy likeness Thou wilt see. That I may be well-pleasing, dear Master, unto Thee. It is not before the company of believers. It is not in some impassioned emotional set of circumstances that you offer your body, that in your priestly function you present your body. Do you know where the offering is made? It's made in the secret place. It's made with a mind upon which the Holy Spirit of God has been allowed to work, because you have reckoned yourself, yourself. What part of you? All of you. You've reckoned yourself to be dead to the appeal of the world. And in the secret place with God, without another soul knowing, in the crucible perhaps, with the future absolutely blank to you, but in the exercise of faith, you've been prepared to lay it all, whatever it costs. Oh, you don't pray that way easily, do you? And I don't. I don't go into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, whatever it costs, whatever it costs. Unless the Spirit of God has been able to work upon my mind to bring about expressed in my life the changes that happened when I got saved, and they were remarkable. They were remarkable. You wouldn't credit what God did when He saved me. It will take eternity for us to get an understanding of the, I was going to say, miraculous work of salvation, of justification, of sanctification. Marvellous. And those changes have now been expressed in my life, in the transformation and in the resolve. Listen, young people. No. No. Listen, old people. Listen, old people. The world has no longer with its thought life, with its entertainment life, with its pleasure life, with its business life, with its ambitions, it has no longer a commanding hold over you. And then your hand will go in your pocket. Then your hand will go in your pocket. And then the assembly offerings will be of a nature that God's work can proceed. And then your relationship, it won't be difficult to witness for the Lord. And then in the assembly, you see, a little time spent in the presence of God fixes all the assembly problems. Did you know that? Did you know how easy it is for me to put my arm around my brother? That difficult brother. That brother whose thoughts are different from mine. My arm around him when I come out of the presence of God. The ease with which I can say thee and thou when I'm addressing the Lord. Now you, dear young people, are asking questions, aren't you? You're saying, why should we? Why should we? Why can't we have the simpler versions where the English is understood it. Brother said, he said, Keith, he said, when a person gets saved from outside the influence of our assemblies, he has to learn a whole new language. Of course he's got to learn a new language. Of course he has. He's got to learn a whole new life. The life infused into his spirit has got to come out and be worked out in his experience, in the transformation that takes place. All things become new. And if my brethren, if these old brethren want me to wear a coat and I feel the heat and I've been in the presence of the Lord and I've said, Lord, you know, I'm not picking on the coat. I'm just taking an example. Don't you go away and say Melville's on the coat. No, don't you do that. But I'm saying the things that become mountains to us, you know. They become so vital to us. And after all, they're incidentals. Oh, they're incidentals. They're incidentals. If I've had the companionship of Christ. If I've said, Lord, give me a look. Give me a look at your hand. Lord, take me to the cross. I want to go to the cross with you tonight. Have you got a little study where you can talk to him? Have you? I want to go to the cross tonight. That's where the body, with all its propensity to be displeasing to God, because it's the body that is the vehicle of expression. And that word to be conformed to the word is to masquerade. You look up Wuss. He says that when I'm out there and I'm conforming, my life is fashioned to the world, I'm not living true to the change that's taken place inside me, and I'm making believe. And I've got to part with it one day because I'm going to go to heaven. But how much more precious if in fellowship with him, if in fellowship with him, I can know something of the sweetness of his presence and take that sweetness out to the needy, the souls that are perishing. Now may our hearts be drawn out to him in these rambling meditations, a body presented. He said, I plead with you. I plead with you. The brethren this morning, they said, I plead with you. And that's the exercise of the hearts of brethren who only want the good of the Lord's people. And that's the test to which to put your heart, young brother or older brother, when you get on the platform. Can you honestly look the Lord in the face and say, I only want the good of the Lord's people? And what am I prepared to suffer for the sheep? Shepherd heart in the assembly that opens up a hole. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Where? In the secret place. What will be the result? A transformation that all will see. All the joy and the pleasure in the presence of God of being able to look your Saviour in the face and say, Lord, I believe my life is well pleasing to thee. May it be so, for his name's sake.